be no parting, no sorrow, no hurt. There will be peace forevermore. Wow. This man of sin will be done away with. Oh.
Nancy sang that at my mom's funeral.
Oh, really? Oh, praise God. Praise God. And so, and looking for that day, absolutely.
Don't, God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Amen. Praise God. And so, we're talking about that, putting off the old man and putting on the new. This thing of holiness, sanctification, doing away with the old person to put on the new person. You know, you can't put on a new garment without taking off the old garment to start with, unless you're up here and it's wintertime and then you got the overgarments. But still, in the spiritual sense, we need to face the old man of sin and learn how to die to it, to him. We've talked about this over the last couple of weeks about being crucified with Christ. Yet I live, but not me, but it's Christ that lives within me. We talked about this morning about being justified by faith through our works and being justified, standing at peace in righteousness with God. And not because of I'm a good person, but because the God I serve is a great Savior. You know, He reaches down past my sin. He reaches down past my inability and shows His mercy, His grace, His righteousness. But that doesn't give me all the right just to sin. We must live lives that are
consecrated,
completed,
pleasing
in His sight. We do works of justification, not to be justified, but because we are justified. We do works of righteousness, not because not because my flesh is righteous, but I stand righteous before God. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? No man is righteous in and of themselves. There's no man that has done right ever. We can't do it. But again, my two favorite words in all of the scripture is but God. God saw my unrighteousness. God saw my my flesh, my sinfulness. And He gave me a mode of escape. He gave me a way to get through that. And it's not because of anything I do, but it's because of everything He does. But that doesn't give us free license to sin. We should live lives that are holy, that are just. It tells us in the scripture, if a man drank, if he was a drunkard, he should not drink anymore, right? Says if a man stole, he shouldn't steal anymore, that he should work with his hands. If a man lied, if he was a liar, known as a liar before, then he should put away lying from his life. We talked about it this morning. If you are a member of God's church, then we need to live the gospel. I love that little man. He's staring right at me. We need to live the gospel of Jesus Christ as best as we can. But do we do it all the time? No. Again, we talked about it this morning. If you are truly born again of the power of God, when you step into sin, when you fall, there is a convicting spirit. The Christian cannot comfortably live in sin. There's a Spirit of God that convicts us, that shows us our unrighteousness, that comes to us and says, Curtis, there is things in you, there's things that you did, right, that I'm just not pleased with. And that then you go to prayer and you ask forgiveness for that kind of stuff. You ask God to lead you out of unrighteousness and into His righteousness. And then as we confess our sin, He is what?
Faithful
and just to forgive us our sin. If we say we have no sin, then we make Him a liar, right? I was wondering why this morning why Galatians chapter 5 came to me, because it's in my sermon. We'll start here. We must, listening to this, putting off the old man and putting on the new. We have a new man within us, but first we need to deal with the old man of sin. We cannot deal with him in fleshly terms. There is a war, amen? There are wars, principalities, and powers in the heavenly realms. And we do not fight like regular people. Our warfare is not of flesh and blood. Our warfare is of the Spirit. I have a spirit in me through Christ Jesus, but I have also a spirit that I was born into of rebellion. We all do. We all were born in sin. No man was born short of Jesus Christ, and the only reason he was born without sin is because the seed of God, the Spirit of God, came into Mary and created God manifested in the flesh in her. That's the only person in the face of the earth that was born without a sin nature. Even John the Baptist, though he had the Holy Spirit before he was born, he still had a sin nature, right? Because he was conceived the regular way. Jesus was the only one that was conceived in a very particular way to give him a nature that could not sin against God.
We're all conceived in sin.
Amen, all of us. You know, short of Jesus Christ, right? And that's because the Spirit of God did something once for the sin of the world. Just as he was conceived without sin, without the nature of sin from Adam coming into all man, he also was the only one that was able to stand and take the sin of all men, because in the likeness of man, he did not have the sin nature of man. Tempted in every way and yet without sin. So my righteousness is not laid in me, and your righteousness is not in you by the things that you do, but by the righteousness of God that is laid over top of you as a garment. Through his blood. He is the propitiation, the covering of sin. And so, in Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 21, I have here my words, the old man, those who know the difference between the man of sin and the man of righteousness. There's a separation between flesh and spirit. And we were just in this morning, and I closed my Bible to it because I said, Anyhow, so if you open up to Galatians chapter 5, we'll go back over this again. Knowing that there's two men here, there are two things. Verse 16, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. First commandment is to do what? Walk in the Spirit. How does one know how to walk in the Spirit? The Word of God and the Spirit of God. We have the promise from Jesus in John chapter 14 that he's going to send the Comforter, the one that's just like him, and we will make our abode in you. And that Comforter, that Spirit of truth, guides you into how much righteousness? How much truth? He guides you. He doesn't force you. He guides you as a one born again that trusts in Jesus Christ. He shows sin in the individual, the things that need to be dealt with, that you would be justified through the justifier, which is Jesus Christ. And so if you have works and you have faith, which saves you? Both. You're justified by works. But we looked last week that you're justified by faith. But James said, you show me your faith without, and I'll show you my faith by my works. All right. So those two have to come together and marry. Taking off the old man and putting on the new. This taking off and dying to the old sinful nature of Curtis Fitz is a gift of God. You cannot do it in and of yourself. You have no righteousness in you from your birth. You're a sinner. You're born into sin. You are born in the old man. You're born in the works of the flesh. That's who you are. Right? You can't stop it. That's just who you are. Until the justifier, Jesus Christ, reaches out over history and rests on you and calls you out of darkness into his more marvelous light. And as I'm being recreated in the righteousness of God, there are certain things that I have to die to. Jesus, he will convict me of those sins, but it's up to me to offer those sins as a sacrifice to Jesus. And there's a list of 18 that we went over this morning. I feel like I'm just reading the same thing because, I mean, we just went over this. So, I walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another. Doesn't that tell you that there's a fight going on? Right? There's a fight in me. There's the flesh in me. There's the Spirit in me. And these two, they're contrary to one another. The things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing continually. That's what John said, or Paul said in chapter 7 of Romans. That there's a thing in me. There's a fight within me. The things that I don't want to do, find myself doing it all the time. The things I want to do, I can't find it within me to do them. So these things, this list of things that he tells us here that I need to fight against. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Praise God. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he goes through a list of 18 things here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, and it goes on. You look at those things and you say, Am I even convicted by the Spirit when I do these things? When you lose your temper, which I did recently, right? I'm convicted in my spirit because of that. Although it may have been considered righteous indignation. Still, you know, and we talked about it last week, and I got a couple folks that called me up and said, is my driving really that bad? No, it's not that. It's just I was talking about the wrath. I think that maybe that's why God exposed it in me, because I was talking about it last week or the week before so hard, you know, about wrath, somebody pulling out in front of you and all that kind of stuff, and how we get angry. And I, in my mind's eye, I was saying, well, I got this anger thing under control. Well, amen. And when you say you got this anger thing under control, be prepared to be angry, all right? Because it's coming, right? It is coming.
Seems like
at least tested.
At least tested, right?
Seems like driving takes the worst out of us.
It does. It does.
Doug did really good this week.
Did he? Oh, praise God.
That message was for me.
Well, mine's not in driving because I walk to work, right?
So I don't.
I've got like 35 steps and I'm at the office. Mine is something a little bit different. I have an anger, a wrath that comes up in me when you take the Lord's name in vain at my table, when you drop curse words at my table, when you accuse my God of being unrighteous, things well up in me, right? And it changes me a little bit. And I get a little bit...
Irate.
Spirited. Angry. Vile. Physical.
It does say you know? Angry and be angry and sin. Nah.
Yeah, it does.
I think they're on the right things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My problem is it went over into sin. That anger turned into sin quickly, right? But God convicted me of that. That's why I can talk about it now, because God convicted me about it. I've been praying over it a couple days, and I'm still a little riled about it, but God's dealing with me. Amen? So praise God for that. Yep.
I haven't arrived
yet. I am not there, you know. But one thing I do is I forget those things that are past. And as this passes, it'll pass. And then you know what? Something else is going to come down the river, you know, because I still have a sin nature in me. But I'm learning to die to the old man. Praise God. I'm not, right, honey? I'm not what I was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Well, actually, if I went back 25, she'd say amen and amen. If I say 20, she'll say amen. All right? Because 25 years ago, I was without God, right? 20 years ago, I really had that conversion experience, and things started to change. That's why I said I want to die to the old man. I want to die to my uncleanness, to my lewdness and lasciviousness, to my witchcraft and my hatred, my strife and seditions and hearsays, envyings, murders, and drunkenness. That's when I died to those things, the reveling, right? The wanting to go out and party all the time. That's when those things died. And that's when God started to live in me. When the justification started becoming a manifestation of the reality of Curtis's life. I started basking and understanding that justification, Jesus as the Lord of our lives, and because he is Lord, he gave us certain things to do. And one of those things is to die to the old man, to not love the world or the things of the world. And so in 1 John chapter 2, let's flip over there. 1 John chapter 2, we need to make some adjustments. Well, not me. Y'all have probably already made them. I need to make some adjustments in my life. I have a sin nature, right? And in chapter 2, he's talking about young man and old man and how he's learning to walk in the righteousness of God and how he set up certain principalities here on this earth and lordships and things like that. And he's praising God for it. And so when we get over to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's meditate on that just for a second. Love not the world. I am not supposed to love this world system. All right? The way that this world operates, remember, I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. I hate evil. Those shots that rang out at the Trump rally this last weekend, the evil that was behind that, I hate it. I hate evil. The evil that was around my dining room table a couple of days, I hate evil. And it riles me. It gets me up. It gets my dander up. But the individual, I love. That man who was caught in the snares of Satan in his mind, that took his rifle and climbed up on a building, he stands before God now. That's between him and the Lord. All right? As for me, I need to reckon myself dead to the old man. I need to reckon myself to look at what the ways of the world are and say, I don't want those ways in my life. I don't love the ways of this world. The ways of this world is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you'll die. That's the ways of the world. Fulfill the lust of your eyes, the lust of your flesh, and the pride of your life. That's the ways of the world. Follow those 18 characteristics of those who practice such things that shall not inherit the kingdom of God from Galatians chapter 5. All right? Those are the ways of the world. And I am told by the power and through the power of Jesus Christ to learn how to die to them, not love them. Not love them. And he says that verse 7 of chapter 2, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Right? So if you say you're in the light and you hate your brother, you're not in the light. You're in the darkness even until now. So that individual, what he did was evil. That individual that was foul, that evil that came out, not just the shooter, but your next door neighbor. Even inside of you, your son, your daughter, whatever, the person that you saw on the highway, the person that you meet when you're walking down the street, is the people that you meet each day. Those folks. And you hate those folks? I mean, hate. This is a big word. This isn't dislike. This isn't, you know, because you got your hair colored purple, I don't like. This is a deep-seated hatred for an individual. If you say that you have that and you say you're in the light, then you're actually in darkness. So I need to put on the new man. This is a new way of thinking. Because my old man is all into that. Right? Vengeance is mine, saith Curtis. Right? Vengeance is mine. I will take this into my hands. I can do this. Where God says, learn to love those people. Hate the sin, no doubt. I hate drunkenness. I do. Why? Because I saw the effect of drunkenness. I hate drugs. I hate sorcery. I hate the witchcraft. Those things, I hate those things. Because God hates those things. I hate
the adultery within my own heart, my own mind. Not the adultery that I'm having sex outside of marriage, but the adultery that I have with God. You know, I think that's a worse, don't get me wrong, the other one's bad enough. But if I am adulterating against God, that's way worse.
One's a picture of the other.
One is a picture. They walk hand in hand. They're, one's physical, one's spiritual, but it's the same problem. It's following the flesh. He that loveth his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion for stumbling in him. See, I want to be there. I don't want to have an occasion of stumble. But the only way I can do that is let the old man die. Let that hatred that's in me needs to be put to death. The evil that is in me needs to be hung on the cross with Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Reckon myself dead, that I might be holy, that the old man is dealt with. Amen. I reckon it. Amen, Kevin. That's a deep, heavy word. It's a mathematical phrase. Sum it all up. Come to the last line. Get it all figured out. And then say, it's not weighing the two sides, good and evil. It's weighing right and wrong. If I live in my own self, then I am wrong. If I love the things of this world, and the things of the world is the lust of the flesh, right? But if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He tells us that if we walk in the darkness and say that we're in the light, we're a liar. He says, I write to you, children, because you're, this is verse 12, for your sins are forgiven for you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, again, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God, he that does, what?
But he that doeth the will of God abideth.
How? Forever. What's that? What is the action word there?
Doeth.
Doeth. Amen. It, abiding. Well, how does one abide in Jesus Christ? John chapter 15. If you abide in me, I abide in you. Right? That you do what? Why are we abiding in Christ? There's a reason for it. That we, starts with B and ends in air. Air. Bear. Right? It starts in B and ends in air. Bear. I also learned a new way to spell the other day. What was that? Bird. B-U-R-D. Bird. Oh, love it. Man, the words of what you, isn't that how you spell it there, sweetie? B-U-R-D. Not Bayard, but bird. So that's why I don't teach in school. And so anyhow, this world's passing away and the lust thereof. The lust of the eyes is passing away. Praise God. I was a young man. And I used to have that problem. Dude, I had that problem. As I got older, I put away childish things. I became strong in the Spirit of God, not because of my strength, but because the Spirit of God dwells in me and led me into His righteousness that taught me how to deal with the lust of my eyes. The pride of life, I'm still dealing with a little bit, like a lot. When I say a little bit, I'm not talking a little bit. I'm talking a lot, right? I have a pride problem. I am arrogant. I am prideful. That is what God's dealing with me now. All right? Praise God, I'm not what I used to be, but I still haven't made it yet. I have a pride a lot. I don't have the lust of the flesh. I don't really have the lust of the eyes because I'm over 60. Who cares? I'm not fishing in that pond no more. But when I was a young man, I had those problems. Now all of my problems aren't so much exterior because God's showed me how to hide them better. My problems are interior. It's pride, it's arrogance, it's loftiness, self-righteousness, which is a loathing to God. I don't know, y'all probably don't have those things. I'm confessing this, spilling my guts before you on the stage. But
he just means it shows he's no better than us.
Amen. I'm no better than you guys, right? I have sin that I have to deal with. I have an old man that I've got to kill. God will not kill him for you. You know that? You've got to bring the sacrifice to the altar, which is the cross of Jesus Christ, and offer him there as a sin offering, like they did in the Old Testament, right? So it was a daily sacrifice, and I brought my very favorite best ox. Not my worst ox, my best. This is a box of Kleenex, but I don't have an ox beside me. So I took my very best that I had, and I would bring it to the high priest, and I'd say, this is my sin. I would pray, I'd lay my hands on it. This is my sin. I confess it before you, the high priest. I confess it out. And that high priest would take my offering, and we, the high priest and me, we would tie it to the horns of the altar of sacrifice. And then the high priest would slit its throat. What a sight. And then they would take that offering and they would cut it up into different pieces. I just went through Leviticus the other day again. And in Leviticus, you get to see how they butcher the animals, how certain things go into the fire, how certain things go into the flesh pot, all that kind of stuff. But it was a gruesome job. The old man, the old Curtis Fetz, my sin nature, needs to be brought before the high priest, tied to the altar, which in our case is the cross of Jesus Christ, and we must slit its throat along in agreement with the priest, the high priest. Well, our high priest is Jesus Christ. He said, this sin that's in you needs to be dealt with. The old man must be put to death, buried in the likeness of his death, that we might be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. We must be able to do that. And so the danger is that we don't take this serious. I believe when Jesus said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. I think he really meant that. Now, a lot of, especially modern preachers today, would say, well, he didn't really mean take your thumb and pop your eye out. Let me tell you this. If you had a problem with your eye and you plucked it out, I guarantee you, you would think twice. If you had a problem with stealing, and don't cut your whole hand off, just cut one of your fingers off. It sounds harsh, right? But Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. If your computer causes you to sin, unplug it. Throw it away. If your car causes you to sin, you love your car. If whatever it is that you love more than God, you must take that. If I love me more than I love God, I have got to die. If I'm going to be justified with Jesus Christ, if I'm going to be right before Him, I need to take His death and wear it. I need to identify with His death, with His resurrection. Now, these are hard things for the American church to hear because we've been spoiled to say, well, pray after me and no matter what you do from this point, you're okay. But I can show you scripture over and over and over again says that if you practice such things, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, my brother.
And what I think that's referring to is not a literal cut your hand off and pluck your eye out because the sin would still be in you.
True.
Just to deal with it drastically.
Yeah.
To, like you said, Chris,
serious.
Not play with it.
Yeah, don't play with it.
Both your eyes out, and guess what? You still have lust in your heart.
Yeah.
You would still be guilty.
Yes. Nice.
Cut your hand off, you could still steal.
Cut both of them off, it makes it harder.
Yes. They would castrate people that raped, and they still have it.
Deal with it drastically. You know
right.
I mean?
So are we at that point to willingly sacrifice your sin nature before a holy God?
I still need help.
Amen. But if we're truly going to learn righteousness and holiness, because that's where we're at here, this pillar of holiness, sanctification, this right here, if we're going to get into this, we need to have a prayer life that's close enough to God, close enough to our salvation in our prayer life, that God speaks to us in our lack of holiness, in our lack of sanctification. And as we hear the Spirit of God through the Word of God, He teaches us how to deal with sin. He shows you what needs to die next. And I say next because I can't die to all of my sin. But I'll tell you what, over these 25 years of really being converted into righteousness, a lot of things in me have died. Alcoholism died. I do not drink. Now, I do have alcohol in my house. Okay, me and my stepson had this big thing the other day. He thinks that I'm a liar because I said that I don't, but I do. I make tinctures, and I'm open with that. And if you want to know where it's at, I'll show it to you. All right? But it's not for Jack and Coke. All right? It's not for alcohol consumption. That's not what it's there for. It's for medicine. And I'll show it to you. I'll show you all my concoctions. Right? And they work. If you got a, this winter, if you got a lung problem and you can't get it out, I have some mullein in my basement that's brewing right now. If you take 2 tablespoons, 1 in the morning and 1 at night, you will cough that garbage out of your life, out of your lungs. It works. Don't know how. God made it that way. But I used to take that and hide it and drink it. Right before I was converted, before God really started working in my life in a real way, I would drink. Right, honey? You would buy a bottle of wine for dinner, and I would drink it. Not some of it. I would drink it. All of it. And then I'd go to the store, and I'd buy another one so she wouldn't know I drank it all. I was a drunk. I don't drink no more. I do not drink no more. Don't do it. It will not do it. Smoking. I used to smoke, and you know, this is that old song, I used to smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day. I was there. I smoked like a chimney. I'd light one with one until God got a hold of my life. And I sacrificed. I said, God, I can't beat this on my own. I need you. I lay this at the foot of the cross. And God said, all right, I'll take that from you. But you got to walk away from it. You got to stop buying them. You know? And so in that, I learned how to quit smoking. And I can go through the list of things that God said, here I am, holy and just and righteous. And Curtis, if you want to get up there with me, if you want me to be closer, if you want to be close with me, where you hear my voice, where your prayers are actually honored in the presence of God, then you need to learn how to die to these things. And He's still working on me. That old song that we learned in preschool, the Bible, God's still working on me. It took Him just a week to make the sun and the stars, the planets and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be, because God's still working on me. He's been working on me for 60 plus years. Yeah. All right? And He still doesn't have the dents worked out. But I'm better than I used to be.
Right.
I'm not where I used to be anymore. The righteousness of God is living in me, because God knows I'm willing to die to the old Curtis. I'm willing to sacrifice that as the Lord comes to me and says, Curtis, this needs to die. I said, all right, God, I want to be closer to you. He says, you can be closer to me, but you got to die to this. I'm going to leave it at that because this is different for all of us. He says, I want you to die to this. And he said, all right, God, I'll die to that. I'll sacrifice that for you that I might know you better. And God says, yeah, try it. I said, well, God, I tried it, but I can't do it. He says, trust me, stick your neck out, confess it, and I will show you how to cut its throat. And there are different things. There are different things that need to be dealt with in different ways. And so we need to look at those things with a reality and with a sincerity to put off the old conversation in Ephesians chapter 4. Flip over there if you don't mind.
Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4, yep. Ephesians 4. And so we'll pick up in, say, verse
verse 14, and we'll read through chapter 5, verse 1. Okay? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak ye the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. All right, so look, henceforth, don't be tossed around by the things of the world. Don't be tossed around by false doctrine. Don't be tossed around by other things. Learn Christ, right? Learn Christ, and you'll have that steadiness in your life. Who here's tired of being tossed around by the news cycle? Tossed around by the things that they're doing, being worried about this, worried about that, and really you're just being moved like a leaf on the breeze. Put those things away from you.
Yep.
Trust God. Anchor down. Anchor down. Hunker down. All right? That we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted that which... by that which may every joint supplieth according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to edify itself in love. All right, here's where I have marked out 17 through. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their heart. All right. Look at 17 and compare my life to that, your life to that. 17. All right. This I say therefore, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Walk no longer in the vanity of your mind. You think that it's right, but the Word of God says it's wrong. What is it?
Wrong.
It's wrong. Amen? If your flesh says that it's right and the Word of God says it's wrong, then it is wrong. Not because your flesh will lead you to death. It will lead you to hell. The vanity of your mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. People do not want to walk in the righteousness of God because their heart is blind. I'm sorry, part of breakfast. It was like there, I had to deal with it. I got this song, and it might be a scripture, it might be an old Chinese saying, I really don't know. Confucian might have said this. There is none so blind as he who will not see. Right? It's not that they cannot see, it's that they will not see. There is none so blind as him who will not see. Jesus put it this way. The darkness, right? And men perceive light when they're actually in darkness, then how deep is that darkness?
Jesus said they have eyes and they see not, they have ears and they hear not.
Hear not. Those are the idols of men,
right?
So we need to learn about that. Who, in verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Oh, wait, I think we just read that in Galatians chapter 5. If you practice lasciviousness, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Amen? How did we learn Christ? We learned Christ by not doing the things of... by trusting the Word of God. By reading the Bible and trusting it. Following the unctioning of the Spirit of God. That's how we learn Christ. If, verse 21, if so, that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Amen? If so, all right, if you have heard the Word of God, if you have been taught by the Word of God as truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. All right? Nobody gets to heaven but through Jesus Christ. You can't get there anyway. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things that were made by Him. And without Him was nothing made that was made. So He is the Word. And He is the light that lighteth every man. So we need to hold on to those truths regardless. The world's going to tell you that there is no God. Just follow
What's that? It's a slogan that a footwear company, just do it. What? Who does that?
Nike.
Okay. Which is evil. Mm-hmm. All right. Not the shoe, but the company. Shoe's just a shoe. All right. I won't wear them. Simply, and the reason I won't wear them is because they cost way more than what I'll pay for shoes. Anyhow. But, so, in those things, learning to die to me that I might live to Christ. All right? Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. Do what? Put off. Who's going to put it off? Jesus ain't going to stake it from you. He ain't going to, right? You got to do it, Bill, right? You got to make up your mind, because God's not going to come from heaven and force that out of your hands. He'll say, this is life, this is death. Choose you. If you want to choose life, then that conversation, that lifestyle of the old man, God will deal with that from time to time, moment to moment, as he leads you into his righteousness. Amen? That old man, that conversation, that ye put off the conversation, the concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is a corrupt according to deceitful lust. The old man is deceitful and filled with lust. And we just read that from 1 John chapter, wherever we were, the lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, and pride of life. So, those things, he will put that off. And be ye renewed in the spirit of what? Your mind. Your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means I need, through discipline, I need to change my stinking thinking. I've got to change that. God gives me the power to do it, but I've got to do it. It's like having a V8 motor. Brand new carburetor, full tank of gas, a key that you never plug in. We talked about it this morning, about having a gift and never opening it. Alan was talking about having a computer for 2 years and has never been out of the box. That means it's already outdated.
He's had it for 6 months, it is.
Amen, you had it for 6 months, it is. And so you've got to take the wisdom of the Word of God and apply it. And as you apply it, in your life, obeying it, it changes your conversation, your walk, your lifestyle. It changes the way that you talk, the way that you speak, the way that you believe, the way that you trust. God does that work in you as you desire to walk with him. Praise God, he didn't do me all at one time. Now, I got to be careful when I say this. In the spiritual realm, I'm already seated in the heavenlies. All right, God already sees me there. I'm already there. But in this life, I still got to be justified. How many times in my life? I've got to struggle for righteousness. That my works, in James chapter 2, we went over it this morning. James said, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works, that I might have the peace of God, the justification of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm justified in Jesus, right, spiritually, but in my life, my lifestyle conversation, the world needs to see somebody who is filled with the holiness of God. Now, that justification, my personal work, is not my salvation. My salvation is through the justification through Jesus Christ, who is the justifier of the unrighteous. So, in the spiritual realm, I'm already there. In the physical realm, I walk in the righteousness that is written in the Word of God, which is my physical justification. I'm spiritually already justified. Physically, I got problems, right? I got things. I got sin that needs to be dealt with. And so he keeps on, he says, in the verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in the righteousness and true holiness. Wow. Do you know there's a difference between holiness and true holiness? There's a real holiness that's given by God, and then there's a moral correctness that you can do on your own. You can be righteous in front of the world and still be morally incorrect before God. Or you can be morally correct before man, right? Or morally correct before God and be considered unrighteous before men. Yeah. Right? When you say that they're no drunkard's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, the world will hate you for that. All right, they will. Oh, what do you mean? Well, wait a second. God said it, not me. You got a problem. It's with him, not with me. Right? And so, anyhow, so I need to put on the new man, which is after God, as created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Wow. That's the first one he put there. First thing we got to do is stop lying to God. And if that's the biggest lie, is when you lie to God, you lie to me, big deal. All right? I don't care if you caught a fish this big and you said it was that big. I don't care if you said that you drive 4,000 miles an hour and you can reach the moon. I don't care if you say that. It doesn't matter to me at all. But when you lie to God, when you say, I'm holy, I'm a Christian, I'm righteous before God, and you're living an unjustified life, you're on the very edge of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Or might already stepped across that line. And you don't even know it.
David said, against thee and only
thee have I sinned. Amen.
Yeah, that's right. So even you're lying to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Is lying, it's you're lying against God.
Yeah, amen. So, yeah. It's all, so when your wife or girlfriend that says, does that dress make me look fat? And you say, no, it's not the dress. That dress hangs in the closet. It's only this thin. It's all you no, it's need. Not the dress. Right? My wife never asked me that question. Right? Because she knows I love her just the way she is. Right? And I am fat. Look at that. She made me this way. It's all those pies. The failed pies that I eat. There are no failed pies, but anyhow. He says, in that, speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. All right, that's an adjustment. If you were a thief, stop thieving, right? Let him who steals steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need. So why does God give you a job that you'll be able to give to other people? That we can, that as it says in James, if you see your brother or your sister naked and destitute of food, and you say, I'll pray for you, but you don't tend to those needs, your religion is dead. It's worthless. It's the works. Hey, baby, you got something? I would listen to you. And so, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That doesn't mean you don't speak harshly to people. Sometimes you need a harsh word. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes you need a harsh word. Sometimes you got to get right up in the face of somebody.
Jesus did it.
Amen. Jesus did it. He turned over the tables. Yeah. He talked to the Pharisees. He talked to those folks. And sometimes you got to say, this far, this line right here, no further.
Stephen let him have it.
Amen. You know? So he says right here, it tells you, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. The next one's real important. Grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes you got to say, the emperor has no clothes, right? Sometimes you got to say, President Biden, I love you, brother. I really do. But you're not mentally able to do the job anymore. Dad, I love you, but we got to take the car keys. Right? No, we can't have you running over things and bumping into stuff no more. I love you. I don't want you to be hurt. Those are hard communications, but it is for grace. It's for edifying. So grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit of God?
Disobey.
Disobey. Don't embrace your justification. Don't die to the old man. Then you will grieve the Spirit of God. Call yourself a Christian and curse God. You will grieve the Spirit of God. Call yourself a Christian and steal. Then you'll grieve the Spirit of God. Call yourself a Christian and don't pray. Don't read your Bible. You will grieve the Spirit of God. Because He longs to be with you. Jesus is always waiting there. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Wow. I like that. Unto the day of redemption. I am sealed until there's a day of redemption, and then everything's going to be revealed. Amen? I'm sealed by Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to grieve the Holy Spirit because He has me. Right? No man can take me from His hand. I cannot be snatched out. Joshua cannot take my salvation. There's no devil in hell that can take my salvation. There's no power or principality or government on this earth that can take my salvation. It can't remove me from the hand of God. But I still have a free will. There's a lot of people, and Paul talked about this, folks who love this present world more than they love the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they turned away. There's an apostasy coming where many are going to fall away from the grace of God. They're going to make up their mind and say, it costs too much. If I don't take this mark, all right, if I don't get into this world system, if I don't surrender to AI, then I won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. It's just a small mark. And in fact, it's like a little bitty grain of something, and they're just going to poke it in me somewhere, you know. It's going to be on my forehead, maybe on the back of my hand. It's not that big of a deal. No. Right? And a lot of people are going to fall for that. Why? Because I want to put gas in my car. I want to put gas in my electric car and light it on fire. So, you know, I want to do this. I want to be able to take a plane ride. Yeah, they're already starting it. You can't go to Canada without the fancy driver's license. Right? That's part of it. You can't travel without this or without that. Well, I'll bend a little bit here. You know, it's just small. Well, God says don't do it. Yeah. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Trust the Word of God. Now, this one here I have a hard time with, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, I got a little anger problem. I do. I'm not there. I lose my temper, right? I do. I lose my temper. My anger, my wrath, my clamor, I dwell on things way too much. I worry about the things that are going on out there more than the things that are going on in here. I clamor about it. I worry. I sweat. I fret about this thing or that. Well, God's still working on me. Amen. I'm better, right? I'm better now than what I used to be. Praise God. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Give myself, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be ye not therefore partakers with him. For you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light, and the Lord, and the walk as the children of light. That's putting on the new man. That's dying to the old man. putting on light and rejecting the darkness. That's what makes us holy, is Jesus Christ living within us. That's what makes us sanctified, is following and obeying Jesus Christ, His Word. That's what makes us righteous before God, not of my works, but obeying His works, obeying His Word. And God looks at me, the sinner, and declares me righteous, not because of works that I did, but because of the works that He did through Calvary. And I trusted Him enough to do those works, which is to love. To love you guys. Right, Tom? I love you, man. Boobie, boobie.
You better.
You better. You're going to go to hell. Right? Amen. Love God. Well, see, I can't love you without loving God. I might be infatuated with people. I love you because you can give back to me. You know? But love when you can't give back. And that is for the brethren. You know? We're not supposed to love the world nor the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Wow. We talked about all those things today in little bits and pieces. Hope I didn't lose you. I hope you lost yourself. Amen. That you heard something that God wanted you to know and you said, yes, Lord, there I am. Cleanse me from that unrighteousness, that I might be considered a child of the Most High. That's all I want. That's all I want from you. That's all I want in my life. Is that someday, when I stand before God, and I am going to stand, all will stand, every knee is going to bow, every tongue's going to confess, and He'll look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not by your righteousness that got you here. Is by you obeying my righteousness. It's God's perfect work on the cross, and you fully trusting in that. Anyhow, I love you guys. By the grace of God, here we are. I did not get... read Colossians 3, 5 through 8. Mortify the old and put on and the works of his deeds. Romans 13, 11 through the rest of the chapter. Tells you a lot about putting off and putting on. And then believe it, right? You got to believe it enough to do it.
Apply it.
Amen. If you don't apply it, doesn't help you. You got to do it. If you want it, you got to do it. If you want to be a great mechanic, right, Dave, you got to put in the hours. You got to learn how to love that grease underneath your fingernails. You got to learn how to eat a sandwich and the oil dripping off. It's on you. You feel the grit of the motor in your peanut butter sandwich. You know? And so, anyhow, I love you guys. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your righteousness. Lord, we lift our hearts and our hands before you. And I pray, Lord, that you will teach us how to put off the old man each individually. Father, teach us how to embrace the new man that is crowned in righteousness and holiness, that is embedded in truth. Lord, we love you. And Father, as Paul said, I have not yet made it. I'm not there. But teach me how to put off the old things that I might put on the new, forgetting those things which are behind. Lord, that I might embrace your righteousness and your goodness. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.